Welcome back to another episode of In the Money, where we break down trading strategies and share actionable ideas for all traders. I'm Chase Cottenwar, a brokerage content editor here at Fidelity Investments. And joining me today, as always, is Tony Zhang. Tony's the chief strategist and co-founder at Options Play. Tony, you spent the better part of 16 years helping to coach and educate clients on a variety of topics, whether it's trading, risk management, and of course, options. Tony, it's great to have you back on the show. And I think, like our audience, I'm always interested in listening and learning to you and what's on your mind. So I'd love to go ahead and kick off today's conversation with really two things: your macroeconomic view and also any notable developments that you're watching that our option traders would care to listen to here today.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chase. We're starting off this show with a slightly different tone than what we've had over the last 5 or 6 weeks, where the equity markets, you know, we've seen about a 32% rally here in the S&P 500 over the last 4 months or so. But we're starting to see a little bit of a pullback here in the overall market. If you look at kind of weekly gains, this is largely led by the NASDAQ 100 to the downside. The tech heavy names are what's leading this move lower here at the moment. And at the moment, the pullback that we're seeing right now is largely concentrated in the names that are mostly crowded in terms of the growth names. These are momentum names like Nvidia and Palantir, where you're starting to see some of the unwinding from the stretch valuations that these concentrated names in tech have seen, specifically in NASDAQ 100 and the S&P 500. The concentration of technology has reached a fairly extreme level. And I think we're at a point where a lot of investors are starting to raise some questions with regards to valuations and just how, quote unquote, hyped are these AI named. You have the NASDAQ 100 trading at 27 times forward earnings. And the question is whether or not AI as a theme is starting to become quite overvalued. We saw quite a few things in the news here over the last week that suggest that maybe investors should be thinking ahead as to whether or not all of this capital expenditure towards AI infrastructure and AI compute is going to translate into substantial revenue on the back end of it anytime soon. And if so, how much revenue is that going to be? Because, you know, we just saw Meta, which has been on a hiring frenzy, just recently announced that they're going on a hiring freeze with regards to AI, which is a pretty big turnaround from where they were just a few weeks ago and the major announcements that they were making with regards to how they were going to build out their AI infrastructure. Sam Altman from OpenAI, even he outwardly suggested that perhaps AI is in a bit of a bubble here right now. And you just also have some news recently with, you know, the big LLM models of ChatGPT-5 and Grok 4, you know, just showing that the progress of these major models are starting to slow down. And the question, like I said, is to whether or not the pace at which investors are still continuing to chase AI related names and just how crowded they are is starting to come into question. And I think that is what investors are starting to question and why we're starting to see a little bit of a pullback here in some of these most crowded names. If you look at the NASDAQ 100 index, you know, the pullback here does target two support levels here to the downside, 22,666, which if you're looking at that on the Qs translates to about 550, or 22,000 on the NASDAQ 100, which translates to around 535 on the Qs. Those are the levels that I'm predominantly looking at in terms of a pullback here for the NASDAQ 100. And just to put that into context, you know, that would be a very quote-unquote normal pullback here, given the strength of this rally that we've seen over the last 4 months. You know, markets like this need to have some level of consolidation and pullback in order to maintain a healthy market conditions. You can't just have markets that continue to move up and to the right without going unchecked. So we're starting to see a little bit of that check putting into place. On the other hand, you know, Jackson Hole, we have Fed Chairman Powell speaking at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. You know, investors are going to watch that pretty closely with regards to expectations for rate cut guidance for the rest of this year. Right now, the markets are expecting two rate cuts, one in September, one in December, unless, in my opinion, the labor market weakens further. We saw the minutes yesterday where most of the Fed governors are mostly concerned with regards to an uptick in inflation. In my opinion, I think that inflation is largely moving in the right direction. Even we're seeing some surprises to the upside. It's relatively contained and moving to the downside, where I think the bigger concern here is really in the labor market. And that's really the economic data that I will be pointing to and looking very closely to over the next couple of months to see whether or not that's going to shift the calculus with regards to rate cuts, because I think that is what potentially could lead to further rate cuts than the two that the bond markets are pricing in right now. And then if you look at just how the markets have reacted to the pullback here, the VIX is currently trading around 17 handle here. So despite the weakness we've seen here in the growth stocks, the VIX hasn't really spiked that much here. And what that tells me is that, you know, this move that right now is still relatively contained to these momentum growth stocks rather than a broad sell-off here. Because if you look at market breadth, it remains fairly resilient. And what's interesting is that we're seeing some of the weakest sectors like healthcare starting to show quite a bit of relative strength, which is showing that the markets are just moving to a more defensive tone here right now. And just like I said, the overall pullback that we're seeing here this week is still in the context of the bigger picture, quite normal given the 35%+ rally we've seen in the NASDAQ and the S&P over the last 4 months.
Tony, that's a great breakdown. And so what I'm hearing and what we're seeing across the marketplace is a little bit of a short-term pullback. And I think that this happens from time to time. Investors, options traders probably have seen this before. And we're seeing it across the board, specifically with the NASDAQ 100, which is, of course, very tech-heavy, and the S&P 500 index, which also has some tech in it. What I find notable at this current juncture is there's a little bit of a difference between the technical trends or the strength of their trends, I'll say. As of yesterday, as I look at a chart here, the NASDAQ 100 index, it closed beneath its 20-day simple moving average while remaining above both the 50 and the 200. Now, if we compare that to the S&P 500, the S&P 500 is still above all three moving averages that are generally regarded as important to technical traders, the 20, the 50, and the 200. And so the takeaway just in a short term is that the S&P 500 just has a little bit of a stronger bullish uptrend right now. Now, when I pause for a moment to think about the healthcare sector, you just mentioned it up. We're using XLV as a proxy for today's conversation. Are there other sectors that option traders or maybe even technical traders in general should be looking at, either for like a trade opportunity or just maybe what to stay away from in these coming weeks?
Yeah, that's a great point, you know, and a couple of things to what you said, right? The NASDAQ 100 is obviously far more concentrated to tech, which is why we see the NASDAQ underperform the S&P 500 by nearly double over the last week or so. And it's really kind of that concentration within tech, which is the weakness that we're seeing here right now. And that kind of answers your question with regards to, you know, what other sectors should we be paying attention to here right now? Because what we've basically seen in the last week is this shift from offensive to defensive, meaning it's not a broad-based selling across the board for all sectors. You know, that's kind of the sell-off that can get ugly and, you know, can get violent, and we get those big, big moves here to the downside. That's not what we're seeing here right now. The market breadth remains fairly resilient. You see, you know, across the board, if you look at the NASDAQ 100, the S&P 500, we're seeing that the vast majority of names are still trading above their 50, 100, and 200-day moving averages. And that move down below the 20-day moving average for some stocks actually becomes potentially a short-term buying opportunity. So if you look at kind of what sectors are performing here right now, it's really kind of the worst performing defensive sectors: healthcare, real estate, energy. Those are the ones that are up on the week, versus technology to consumer discretionary, communication services. Those are the ones that are down on the week. So we've just seen this rotation rather than a broad-based selling. And I think, again, rotation is healthy in a market when we're heading into, you know, like I said, a 30% rally here over the past 4 months.
Understood. Thanks, Tony. Now that we've covered some of the macroeconomic backdrop that I think a lot of option traders really do care about, let's get a little bit more tactical, discuss some different trade ideas. What do you got on your plate for today, Tony?
Yeah, Chase, the one I want to take a look at here is Probably one that everyone is familiar with, which is Apple. And this is really just because Apple falls into this particular category of it's in that high valuation range. It also is an AI related name. And I think because it falls into both of those categories, Apple, along with those names, is at risk of potentially some further pullback here, especially if you consider that Apple is one of the few names in that particular category that really lacks any form of innovation in this particular space at the moment. Apple's really fallen behind the curve in the last couple of years with regards to innovation from a product perspective and from a software perspective. So if we take a look at a chart here for Apple, the stock has had a decent pop here over the last couple of weeks on the back of what was stronger than expected earnings. And they recently made a couple of announcements that made it seem like they're making some developments with regards to launching AI tools within the Apple iPhone. However, what we've seen here is basically a move higher here to around that 235 level here. However, both momentum and volume has started to slow down here. And that's leading me to believe that this rally up into that 230, 235 area is likely one that we would look to fade. And also, if you look at kind of the chart here over about an 18-month period, you start to see the formation of what looks like the start of a head and shoulders formation. That is a topping formation that could potentially target $200 to the downside. So if you look at the chart here, there are some signs that the rally here is starting to fade, and I think we could see a bit of a pullback here. But from my perspective, the real story here is in the business and the valuations. You know, this is a stock that's trading at 29 times forward earnings, which is nearly 50% higher than the industry. Now, typically when you have valuations that high, you typically see growth rates that are higher than normal. And in this particular case, Apple is actually below average in terms of expectations for growth. And that really comes down to the fact that the iPhone has really not performed particularly well in the last couple of years as a growth engine for Apple anymore. And they're considering and they're continuing to rely on services to continue to maintain their margins. And that's really the only thing that's keeping Apple's valuation at where it is at 29 times forward earnings is because net margins are 24%, which is higher than 90, 95% of the industry. But like I said, that's increasingly being the only thing that's maintaining their margins. It's not because of innovation. It's not because that they're building new products that people are excited about. It's really just the fact that they're able to extract more revenue from a subscription business on the users that are using iPhones. And I think that is going to be a problem. On top of the fact that if you look at the 40 analysts that are covering Apple, the average target price here is 236, which is only about 2-3% above where we are right now, which really means that there's not a lot of potential upside that analysts are expecting here for this particular stock. So, you know, you look at kind of the overall business here. You know, the AI initiatives that was driving a lot of the potential outlook for this particular for Apple over the last couple of years, we clearly see that the $10 billion that they've invested in AI has really amounted to very little. You know, we've really seen a huge delay or rather underwhelming introduction of Apple Intelligence and Siri. The reliance on services and buyback is really the only thing that's propping up the stock and the valuations. And just the overall macro risk with tech accounting for more than 40% of the weight of the S&P 500 makes it more vulnerable for these types of corrections that we're currently seeing here right now. So I think these are all the things that are, in my opinion, that's aligning the technicals with the fundamentals for what could be just a short-term pullback here for this particular stock. And I'm using this rally to potentially fade it. And I think there are two ways that equity traders or rather options traders that are viewing the show can potentially play this neutral to bearish view that I have here on Apple if you agree with it. Now, if you don't own Apple as a stock, I think one way that you can do that is to sell a call spread. You can go out to the September 26th and you can September 26th weekly expiration, and you can look at selling the 225-240 call vertical here. Earlier today, you can collect about $5.80 for that $15 wide credit spread. And what that means is that if the stock is below 225 at that September 26th expiration, you'll make a profit potential of $580. But if the stock is above $240 at expiration, your maximum loss is $920 per contract. And just to put that into context, you know, for the stock to be above 240, that would basically be the highs of 2025 in order to get back there. And just from my perspective, if you look at the business, there's been a lot of chaos internally this year with regards to the rollout of AI. They've lost a lot of their top talent to Meta and some of the other AI shops. And it really seems that internally Apple is currently going through quite a bit of chaos, and whether or not they can continue to kind of turn things around in the short run, I think is questionable. I do hope that in the long run, Apple gets their stuff together. But at the moment, I think in the short run, the risk is more so to the downside for Apple. Now, if you own Apple stock, there's another way that I think you can look at this as well. You can look at just selling cover calls. So I'm going out to the September expiration, the monthly expiration, if you're selling cover calls. I'm looking at selling the 235 cover calls. Earlier today, you could collect about $2.58 for that cover call. And what that allows you to do is basically collect a little bit of premium, about a little over 1% of the stock's value in the next 30 days in terms of premium or income. And that will give you a little bit of downside protection, you know, if Apple does correct a little bit, but at the same time, it'll maintain a fair amount of upside appreciation opportunity as well. So if Apple does get back to that 235, basically near the top of the right shoulder on that head and shoulders pattern I'm referring to, you still have that upside into that right shoulder, but at the same time, you're collecting 1% of the stock's value in terms of income. Over the next 30 days. And just to put that into context, you know, you get less than 1% per year in terms of dividends from holding the stock. Here is a way that you can generate 1% in 1 month by selling that cover call. So those are two ways that you can take advantage of this neutral to bearish view using options.
Got it, Tony. That's super helpful. And I would imagine if there's enough change in a situation, someone might go, well, I'm neutral bearish, maybe to more bearish, right? So it's always important, I think, as we lay out these hypothetical use cases or trade ideas, is that, well, this is a moment in time. So as the situation develops, we might need to revisit this and still determine, are we neutral? Are we bullish neutral? Are we bearish neutral? Like, where are we on the spectrum of trade thesis, and make sure our strategy still aligns to that. So I think you did an awesome job, Tony, of laying it out. I do want to hop into another trade. This is, in this case, going to be a previous trade we talked about on this podcast. Let's do a quick look back on low. Talk to me a little bit about how this performed and what would be our hypothetical next steps here, Tony, if I was a trader kind of looking at this position, given the performance of the stock.
Yeah, thank you so much. I laid out this bullish trade here on lows a couple of weeks ago on the back of what was at the time a lot of optimism in the markets with regards to the Fed potentially cutting rates 3 times in 2025. We saw home builders outperform in that environment, and Home Depot and Lowe's on the back end of that was also starting to outperform, and we were heading into earnings season for the big box retailer. So I took a bullish position here on Lowe's, buying that September 240, 260 call spread. Earlier, a couple of weeks ago, we bought that for about $7.30. The stock has rallied significantly since then. It did report better than expected earnings, so the stock did move a little bit higher on that earnings report, and it did actually hit our upside target, which was $265 intraday after the day after earnings. It's pulled back a little bit since then, and that's really why I think it's time to potentially close out this trade. First of all, when we bought the 240-260 call spread, the stock was above the upper strike price of that call spread after earnings, and that's usually a good time to, at the very least, consider taking profits, if not consider adjusting it after that. But the stock is now below that 260 level here after hitting the 265 level intraday. And I think for those reasons, my view is just to simply close out this trade, take profits, and move on. So earlier today, that trade was trading around $14.15 to something we bought for $7.30. So we're looking at just under 100% gain on this particular call spread. And I think, like I said, because we've hit our target, our profit target, And the earnings announcement came out better than expected, which was the binary event that we were trying to trade with this trade structure. This is a good opportunity to simply take profits and move on to the next trade.
Tony, when I used to coach clients on the trading strategy desk here at Fidelity, I often would refer and kind of remind clients that you don't have to fall in love with the trade. If it does its job, you can move on to the next one, right? You don't have to stay married to it. And it's always important, or it can be important, to free up some capital for the next trade. Just a quick question here as we're coming closer to time. When you speak to institutional traders and professional traders, do you often see them closing trades early? Is that like a common practice? Is that something that you think retail traders should maybe think about more often? Like, what is kind of your POV on closing trades early, especially if they're at a profit?
I think that's a fantastic question, but I do want to define what closing early means, because closing early could mean two different things to two different people. Closing early could mean closing it before expiration, or closing early could mean closing it before it hits your original intended target price. Now, if we're talking about closing early prior to expiration, yes, almost always there are many instances where it makes sense to close a trade prior to expiration, especially if you're short an option. There are many instances where it makes sense to close out a trade prior to expiration. I think the difference between professional traders and most retail traders lie is in whether or not they have the emotional resiliency to hold on to a trade until it hits their target price. And that is what I think differentiates a lot of professional traders from retail traders. Retail traders, they will set a target price potentially, or a take profit level that they have in mind. But before it reaches that level, they're more inclined to close out the trade before it hits that level, because we're always fearful that, you know, we have a small gain. If we don't take profits now, that gain could evaporate. Versus professional traders, we tend to find far more often, if it hasn't reached their target profit, if it hasn't reached their target price, they will maintain holding on to this trade, even with the risk that that trade does turn back into potentially a losing trade. And I think that is at the core what differentiates successful traders from everyone else, is that emotional resiliency that's really required to just hold on to a trade until it reaches your actual target profit that you had laid out when you first got into the trade, because the risk reward that you calculated initially when you got onto the trade made sense only if you held it through your target price, meaning that risk reward may not have made sense if you were going to take profits early. And I think that is largely what makes the difference between professional traders and everyone else. And that is a lesson that I think, if you're trying to learn from this session, is one that you could try to take away, is to be mindful of that you should not take profits too early. And when I refer to early, I mean before your planned exit, when you got into the trade.
Awesome, Tony. I wrote down two things, which is emotional resiliency and planned exit. I think those are some pretty clear takeaways for our audience today. So thank you for sharing that with us. All right, folks, that does bring us to a close for today. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of In the Money. Tony, as always, thanks for bringing your expertise. I do just want to give a quick heads up that in the few next sessions coming up in the next couple of weeks, you're probably going to notice a change when it comes to the sort of subscription and enrollment process to each episode. Starting September 1st, we're going to require a registration for each live event. And so you'll be able to register for all upcoming episodes hosted through Fidelity on this upcoming brand new In the Money viewing page. We're going to remind you a couple more times in the following sessions just to let you folks know, but just kind of keep your eyes open and stay posted for any additional updates to that page and the registration process. But what hasn't changed is always, always, always do your very best to tune into the Trading Strategy Desk follow-up session, which is going to be tomorrow, Friday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can sign up for that session by going to fidelity.com/inthemoneyfollowup. And if you're looking for further insights or you missed today's live show, be sure to sign up for the Active Investor Weekly Newsletter to receive a highlight of the trades discussed. Yeah, you can go there by visiting fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. I'm already looking forward to next week's episode, but until then, take care, everybody.
Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of characteristics and risks of standardized options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you're most comfortable with. As with all of your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Indexes are unmanaged. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Copyright 2024 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. 1109225.1.0. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.